Hello, everyone. Welcome to the weekend edition of the Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Alex Wong, and I'm joined in the first segment by CBS Sports NBA writer James Herbert. Follow him on Twitter at Outside the NBA. Great tweets, great writing. What's going on, James? Good morning. Good afternoon. I never know what to say at noon. It's afternoon, I guess.
It's exactly noon. I guess it's 12:01 now. So yeah, it's technically the afternoon. Thank you so much for that very nice intro, Alex.
Yeah, anytime. You know, I write them, but do I really mean them? You never know. But, you know, appreciate you having you on, James. Oh, no, I mean them, all right? So before we get to some first quarter awards for the Toronto Raptors, so actor Cal Penn announced yesterday he's going to produce and star in a biopic about Raptors superfan Nav Bhatia. James, I want to know, as someone who knows me really well, who should play me in my eventual 5-minute biopic?
Only 5 minutes? I mean, I don't know if I really endorse this, but I think this will make you happy. So I'll say Simu Liu should play you, because not only is he a superhero, and I know you like to think of yourself as a superhero.
You don't know me.
You know, yeah. He's familiar with your work. We know that. He doesn't have to do any research there. He's familiar with your working environment in Toronto and this Raptors team that you spend a lot of time around. So I think it's just sort of convenient. I am not sure if I think this is like necessarily a realistic one, considering how his career is going. And this, I mean, you probably, if you really want a biopic, you're gonna have to set your sights probably a little bit lower. But I want to make you feel good, so I will officially choose him.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'll just settle for Will Liu or Scarlett Johansson, who has starred in many great Asian roles. So those could be two other picks as well. The other thing I wanted Absolutely. To ask you is that earlier this week we had CCYAA co-founder Clement Chu on the show to talk about their recent collaboration with Mitchell and Ness, the Boba Raptors drop. I'm wearing the Boba Raptors tee right now. Why did you say that, Alex? Nobody can see you. So CCYAA is the Canadian Chinese Youth Athletic Association. And James, now this is a predominantly Chinese basketball association. Not that we're being, you know, exclusive. It's a very inclusive community and environment. But I was shocked to find out when you told me you were part of CCYAA growing up. I need to hear this story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm proof that they're an inclusive environment, because I am just not Chinese. I would go play basketball at like a CCYAA affiliated Raptor ball every weekend. So it's just a few hours of, you know, we did drills and we did scrimmaging, and it was like I was a very basketball obsessed kid growing up, and it was a convenient place for my parents to drive me and drop me off. And you could ask Clem, like, fact check this, but because he was like one of the instructor, like he was like basically like my coach, I guess, even though it wasn't really a team. But I think I was the only like white kid there, maybe the only non-Asian kid there, but I didn't care. I just wanted to play basketball. So the CCYAA was very welcoming for me.
No, that's amazing. And you can always say that you have lots of Chinese friends, you know, dating back to your childhood. I was actually texting Clem earlier this morning, and he wanted me to ask you if you remember. I think he took you to a Raptors game, because he used to do like play-by-play radio. And he said it was like a take your friend or something, take your friend to work day. And he took you to a Raptors game. Do you remember this?
Yes. This was a long time ago. But I do remember, like, I went to a lot of Raptor games as a kid. I was very spoiled and very lucky. But that was like a different sort of thing. Like, I was usually there with my parents, and like Clem was like, he was a bit more of like an insider in the basketball world. And like, yeah, that was cool for me.
Yeah. Did you go to the Sky Dome? You were at the Sky Dome for games.
Oh, right? Yeah.
What do you remember about being at the Sky Dome?
I loved it. I was like the one person, like, I mean, I was like 12 years old or whatever, but I was like the one person in Toronto that was upset when the team started playing in an actual arena designed for basketball rather than an enormous, like, ridiculous baseball stadium. Cause I just liked the routine of going to the Sky Dome, and I could, they were very lax with security back in those days. So they would let you, like, especially if you're like a child, I could go down onto the sort of event level and run around, like, sort of around where the courtside seats were, and watch guys warm up.
I'm just picturing you just running around the court before the game with nobody caring.
No, I mean, basically, and like, I would like fist bump the players as they came out for warm ups. Marcus Camby would be saying what's up to me. Yeah. And I know you've seen the photo of me doing push-ups with the Raptor. Like, that's where that happened. It was, like, in the Sky Dome, some kind of, like, behind where the courtside seats are. Because again, it's a baseball stadium. There was a lot of room in between where the courtside seats ended and where the, like, stands that they had to put in there, like, where the fields would be. So yeah, it was an unconventional setup and I absolutely loved it. The players hated it. It was like drafty and weird. And, I think the sight lines and like just sort of your depth perception was screwed up because of it. But I absolutely adored the games at the Sky Dome, even though the team was terrible. And, you know, it was just not, it is not the place where you would ever, like, as an adult, want to go watch a basketball game.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm working on this Raptors book about the first year of the Raptors in stores 2023. And, you know, speaking to a lot of people from that first year, everybody just said the Sky Dome was really cold. This is like a common thing that I've been told. Do you remember the temperature of the Sky Dome, James Herbert?
Only vaguely. Like, I don't think it really bothered me. I was probably wearing some like Raptors branded jacket every game anyway. I'm more like at that time, it was honestly, I was the happiest person in the world in that Sky Dome. Now I'm like complaining that the Barclays Center is way too cold every game. Like to this day, I was whining about this last night on Press Row. So I think I was tougher back then.
Yeah, you're just an old curmudgeon sports writer now. Make sure you check out James Herbert's work at CBS Sports and follow him on Twitter at Outside the NBA. They don't teach you these radio transitions at journalism school. It's self-taught. Hey, who was your favorite Raptors player growing up? I don't think I've ever asked you this.
Damon was my guy, I think, just because he was like the first star that they had, and he was like, he was small. I was like a very short kid. I'm still a somewhat short adult. And I loved the way he played. I was heartbroken when he asked for a trade and he got moved. But yeah, no, I mean, I loved Raptor role players and stuff too. I was like very into Tracy Murray. I think my mom liked Ed Pinckney a lot, partially just because of his name. Popeye Jones was fun. But Damon, like, I mean, I wore a Damon jersey like all the time. That was when I was like shooting on my like my driveway basket. If there was anybody I was trying to emulate from those Raptors teams, it was absolutely Mighty Mouse.
That's amazing. All right, I just wanted to see how much time I could kill up top before we actually talked about the Raptors. So it turned out to be 8 minutes. So the Raptors have passed the first quarter mark of this regular season. They are 10-13 right now in the standings. They are 2 games out of a play-in spot. Wow, that's sad. I thought it would be a good time to hand out some awards. So James, I did ask you beforehand to prepare 3 awards. I've got 3 awards as well. You as the guest, I'd love for you to go first.
I would love to go first. I'll start with the Doing the Most Award. I don't think I really have to explain that one. And it goes to Fred VanVleet, who is leading the league in distance covered, leading the league in minutes by a lot. Like, he's at 38.3 minutes a game. Jason Tatum is second at 36.7. It makes sense because the Raptors are getting absolutely annihilated when he sits, and you know, in those minutes he is doing more than he ever has. Like, he's taken on a bigger offensive role defensively. I mean, you know how that guy plays and how hard he plays, and I think he's like really thrived given the opportunity that he's had this year. He's exceeded most people's expectations. I think he himself had really high expectations. I mean, he's been on the show and talked about you know, wanting to be an all-star and thinking that he was all-star caliber last year. I don't know if he will actually make the all-star team this season, but I think he's undeniably playing at that level. And it's basically probably going to come down to whether or not the team is good enough. But just in terms of the effort that he is putting out there, and just how much stuff he is doing out there, I wanted to honor him with the Doing the Most award.
Yeah, I love that. I think with regards to the All-Star, I almost feel like he might end up having like the Mike Conley path, where he's in the conversation every year and he's very respected around the league, and somehow he just doesn't make the cut for like the first 10 years of his career.
So he'll get it when he is playing for the Utah Jazz in 11 years from now or whatever.
Come on, man. I don't want to picture Fred in Utah. Please don't do this to me. You're doing the most right now. The Doing the Most award actually goes to James Herbert. So my first award.
I should say Scotty Barnes is like third in distance covered, and he's first in distance covered on defense. So he gets like, he's going to get two runner-up awards for me. So he's the runner-up for that one.
I think Fred should get a bit of a shout out too for just being a great quote as well. I feel like, you know, every time they put him on these post game Zooms or when he talks at practice, he always has great words of wisdom and, you know, just bars in general. So I know that doesn't go in the stat sheet, but, you know, I feel like we got to shout him out for that too.
Goes in my stat sheet. MVP quote. Unbelievable.
Yeah. No, MVP, man. Top five in the league. So my first award is the rookie most likely to score 30 points and get benched in the same game. That is Scotty Barnes. I feel like we've gotten the full rookie experience so far from Scotty. You know, it goes without saying that he has exceeded all expectations so far coming into the season. You know, the general consensus was he was going to be maybe a next to nothing on offense. And instead, he has shown a mid-range game. He's even shown the three-point shot of late. He had a recent stretch across two games where he was 7 for 15 from three. From the free throw line, he is shooting over 70%, which is up from 62% in college last season. And also the offensive rebounding. It seems like every possession, well, it seems like every possession the Raptors in the half court are missing a shot. And it seems like every possession, Scotty Barnes is either tipping the offensive rebound, like the huge tip that he had at the end of the Bucks win this week. You know, he leads the league in offensive rebounds for non-centers. He's ranked in the top 10, and everybody on that list in front of him are centers like Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, and Anthony Davis. And if you're wondering where I got all these stats, it's from my producer, JR. But at the same time, we've seen, you know, he got benched after 94 seconds, you know, in the Celtics game last week because he was attempting this behind-the-back pass on an inbounds. And there's this thing now that people in Toronto have been tracking where he constantly looks back at the defenders when he's dribbling on a fast break. And we even saw him tumble out of the tunnel pregame earlier this week. I think these are what Fred calls just young mistakes that guys have to go through. So for me...
They have to go through the tumbling through the tunnel thing?
Well, he better not get injured, or he better not get blocked on a fast break because he keeps looking back. But the rookie most likely to drop 30 points in a single game but also somehow get benched for 5 minutes by Nick Nurse is Scotty. I don't know if you have anything to add about Scotty. I mean, obviously everybody here in Toronto is super excited about what they've seen.
I mean, I'm just as excited, man. And like, yeah, it's been a wild ride. I think there was like a little bit of consternation when he had that like stretch there after his insanely hot start where, you know, he wasn't scoring as efficiently. He wasn't scoring as much. And it was sort of like, well, is he hitting the rookie wall? Whatever. Defense is kind of adjusting to him. And I think you've now seen this sort of adjustment back sort of to that. Like, he is hunting 3-point shots now. It has helped that he is shooting a lot better from 3-point range in the last week or so. But I think he knows those shots are going to be there. Earlier on, it seemed like, you know, the message from Nurse to him, like he internalized it. And that message was be super aggressive, driving to the basket and look to score first. He is a guy who's always been a natural playmaker, who wants to make his teammates happy, who wants to get other guys involved and find them easy baskets. And I think he was learning how to, you know, if if he has a physical advantage, like, why not bully people? Why not go aggressively to the basket? And if you draw a second defender, then yes, of course, find the open man. But I think it was a lot more just sort of more interior focused and mid-range focused to a degree at the beginning. And now you're seeing him kind of, you know, balance that out. Like, he's legit a three-level scorer if he keeps shooting the way he is. And I mean, it's kind of building on what we saw at the beginning, where it's like, oh, wow, the mid-range shot is kind of there. Now it's like, oh, if he's going to be taking these threes and looking for them, like, this guy could be like so much more advanced offensively than anybody was sort of prepared for coming into this season. So I think there will continue to be growing pains, but I'm very much enjoying just like kind of the way this season is developing for him.
For sure. What's your second award, James Herbert?
This is the I Love the New Rules Award, and it goes to Gary Trent Jr., who, I mean, I think there have been games where I've been like, wow, that guy is like getting away with murder on the perimeter, but I mean, he's not the only guy like this. And I give him so much credit for the way that he's approached the defensive end of the floor this year. He's still up there in deflections. I think he's third in the NBA behind Caruso and DeJounte Murray, but it's by like 0.1 of a deflection a game. He's like fourth in steals. And a lot of this is because like the NBA has let guys be a lot more aggressive on the perimeter. And if you are, you know, pressing up against your man, if you're bodying up on the perimeter and trying not to get screened, like, you are a little bit less worried than you used to be about guys flailing and guys creating contact and them getting the whistle. And like, if you look at the numbers, like, yeah, Trent's fouls have gone up a little bit, but I don't think nearly as much as you would expect given the way that he's been playing. So he has gone up a level on defense. And I think part of that is just, you know, he has decided that he really wants to be that guy. And I think the assist that you give is to the new rules that have allowed him to be that guy a little bit more easily than if he were trying to do this under the old system.
Yeah, I have nothing to add to that aside from the fact that, you know, Gary Trent Jr. is a huge fan of the Japanese streetwear brand Bape. And as someone who wore Bape 20 years ago as a high schooler, it's nice to see the next generation picking up on this trend. My next award is the player Raptors fans have the most trouble evaluating, and that goes to Pascal Siakam. So I just want to read off some stats here. This year in 12 games, he's averaging about 18 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, about a steal and a block per game, shooting 46% from the field, 31% from 3. Pretty comparable to last year, especially when you consider that he's just, you know, obviously coming back from shoulder surgery. Last year in Tampa, when apparently he had the worst season of any NBA player in history, if you listen to some people, he averaged 21 points, 7 rebounds, about 5 assists, 45% from the field. The 3-point, he only shot 29% from 3, which is something that people can definitely pick at. But I just think it's really hard to have conversations about Pascal right now because the fan base is just frustrated about his fit with Scotty, about his contract, about just everything. How should Raptors fans feel about Pascal Siakam, James?
I think they should feel encouraged. And I'm not trying to just be like uniformly positive about everything that's going on. I think there are legit questions you can ask about fit. And I think if you are making the money that he is, like, people are going to nitpick your game. That's the reality. But also, he has been much more good than bad this season. And I would argue that last season, when he was playing his best basketball, that was largely ignored. And that was weird. Like, he made a lot of strides as a playmaker last year. I loved the way he was creating for other people. And I think he has picked up right where he left off with that this season. And like, he's been like pretty efficient. I haven't really had a lot of problems with the way that Siakam has played this year. Would it be nice if he were a guy with more like shooting gravity from the 3-point line? Yeah. Do I think he's playing, or he has played thus far, like a sample size of the sort of defense he played 2 years ago, even like for some stretches of last year? Like, no, like probably not. Like, he probably hasn't been an A on defense this year. But he still like fits really well into what the Raptors are trying to do on that end. And offensively, I think he's like had a pretty mature approach this season, and I've liked it. And I think people don't know what to make of him, and people are kind of still thinking about the way that he struggled offensively a couple of years ago in the playoffs, and the way that I think he started last season. And that is kind of skewing the way that people are watching him now.
For sure. What's your final award for the first quarter of this Raptors season, James?
Okay, this award is for the raptoriest raptor in all of Raptordom, which is the guy who best exemplifies the Raptors ethos and just how kind of weird they are. I think that's obviously Delano Banton. Scotty Barnes is a contender for this. I'll say that he's the runner-up, just like he was a runner-up for the doing the most award. But I mean, this guy was a 46th pick in the draft. It's a dude from Rexdale who I think a lot of people, even like from Toronto, like did not know who he was when they drafted him, despite the fact he doesn't really have a jumper. He has played in literally every game, sometimes 15 to 20 minutes, sometimes not as much, but you know, he like has basically jumped Malachi Flynn, did that very early. Right now Goran Dragic isn't with the team, but when he first started getting minutes over Goran Dragic, I think a lot of people were like, what is going on? And then you watch him play, and he is like such a raptor. In transition, he is a menace. He's super fast. He's super long. He has really good vision. Obviously, he's a super versatile defender. He's full of upside. He's just, you know, he's pretty raw still offensively. He doesn't really have a thing that he does in the half court that you can count on every night. He's not like a super threatening off-ball player yet, but you know, you see what they saw in him, and he's just extremely raptory. And I think, you know, you'll see him continue to go down to the 905 and put up crazy numbers there. And then you'll see him go to the, you know, with the big club and try to like slowly expand his game. But just like the way he is right now, I think he is such a prototype for the type of player that the Raptors like to get in their system and see what they can like mold him into.
Very excited about Delano Banton. And I think it's good context too to remind people that he's a second round pick. And I think he's already exceeded all expectations so far. And you see so much talent and skill and potential in him. And, you know, regardless of how this Raptors season goes, I think when you look at Scotty and Delano, like you have to be thrilled about what they can be going forward for this team. My final award, worst in-game promotion. So I don't know if you've seen this, James, but I think this is a new thing they've brought back. I don't know. It's been about 2 years since the Raptors have played at home. So fans get free pizza now if an opponent misses a single free throw at any point in the fourth quarter. And, you know, Will Lou pointed this out this week too on one of his post-game podcasts. So we got fans cheering for pizza again at the arena. And, you know, James, you know, there's a long history of this in Toronto.
It's a long and dark history. I think there's an equally rich history of writers complaining about the pizza chance and how it's overshadowing the game and how it's embarrassing. And we are feeding into that right now. So I'll just say that I don't like it. I don't like that it's back. And why can't they learn?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's fair. Wow. We've become two old curmudgeons. That is my word of the day. I love that word. All right. I think we should take an earlier break because we've got, you know, big things to do in the second segment. James and I are going to play round two of Who He Play For. So we'll be back with that. I'm your host, Alex Wong. You're listening to the weekend edition of The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And now a message from our presenting sponsor. Discover the best eats of your neighborhood on DoorDash without leaving your home. So many options to choose from, and ordering is easy. For a limited time, you can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code THEFAN25. Fuel up for tip-off. Order today through the DoorDash app or DoorDash.com. DoorDash, delicious, delivered. Terms and conditions apply. See sites for details. Welcome back to the weekend edition of The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Alex Wong. I'm joined by CBS Sports NBA writer James Herbert. Make sure you check out his work. Follow him on Twitter at OutsideTheNBA. Great tweets, great writing. Just a great person. You know, you want anything else, James?
Wow.
I got no, I'm just ad-libbing right now. Yeah.
No, I appreciate you calling me a great person. That's very sweet of you.
Yeah, once again, do I mean these things just because I say them? You don't know. So we are going to play my favorite game with you, round two of the favorite game on the Raptor Show Weekend Edition.
It's time for Who He Play For, Raptor Show Edition.
So we spent our whole Secret Santa budget on this intro for you, James. So I hope you acknowledge it and appreciate it.
It's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So for people who want the context, I guess, you know, TNT's Inside the NBA, they will play this game with Charles Barkley, where Ernie Johnson and the crew will ask Charles, they'll give him a bunch of NBA players in the league, because the joke is that, you know, Charles doesn't really watch basketball, maybe not really a joke. And the joke with me and you, James, is that I don't really watch basketball. Maybe also not a joke. So you have 10 players for me today, and we were actually texting during the break. So you're going to give me, I get to ask three hints. So I've got three lifelines, and you're saying that I should raise the over-under a little bit because last time I didn't do very well. I'm feeling good today, so I'm going to set my own over-under at 4.5. So I have to get half of these right. So I'm ready, James. Let's do this.
Always excited to do this game with the Charles Barkley of Canadian media. Okay, so we're going to start with what I think are two easy ones. Some big guys, some relatively big-ish names. We'll go with Derek Favors.
Holy, how am I not getting this already, man? These are easy. Actually, hold on. New Orleans Pelicans.
No.
What?
Oh, for one.
No?
He plays for the Thunder.
I hate when I'm confident, too. All right, 0 for 1. Let's go.
And I love when you're confident. It's weird how that works. Okay, we're going to go. This is a guy. There's a lot of discussion about this guy on Twitter lately, so I think it should be easy. Daniel Tice.
Come on, man. Oh, my God. He's not on the Bulls anymore, is he? I don't know, man. Chicago Bulls.
He's not on the Bulls anymore. He is on the Houston Rockets.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go 0 for 10. I'm really going to go 0 for 10 today.
The Rockets are right now on a 5-game winning streak because, I mean, this isn't the only reason, but I think one of the main reasons is they are no longer playing these two big lineups, especially at the start of the game. Christian Wood is at center, and they're taking off. The Rockets are launching, Alex. Okay,
yes,
so
yes. This is a Fred Katz level pun. And by the way, I'm not on Twitter that much. So, you know, that's why I definitely
that's
didn't
a lie.
See that. Don't answer that. Don't respond to that. All right, so I'm 0 for 2. What's next, James Herbert of CBS Sports?
Let's go with Bryn Forbes.
These are ridiculous. Actually, I know this one. Actually, I've said this many times. He is back on the Spurs.
There you go.
There
you go. Now okay. You're starting to get on a roll here. One for three.
I'm on a All one right. game win streak, just like the Toronto Raptors. Let's do this.
There you go. Sterling Brown.
Sterling Brown is on the. Oh, I almost said Houston Rockets. He is on. Oh my God, it's messing me up. He's on the Dallas Mavericks.
There you go. You're at 50% right now. 2 for 4, and you haven't even used one of your lifelines.
Yeah, don't speak to me like I'm a 6-year-old kid. Don't talk to me like you're Clement and I'm James Herbert, 12 years old. There you go.
I'm trying to be encouraging. Wow.
You are. That's why you're a great person, a great friend, great writer. Okay, 2 for 4. Let's do this.
Torrey Craig.
I've definitely seen him in a jersey, and I was like, I can't believe he's on this team. But I cannot remember the jersey.
Perfect.
He played the Raptors recently, and I was like, they have Torrey Craig? Oh, I'm actually giving up on this. I don't know, man. Washington Wizards.
Do you want to use a hint? Okay, no
you
hint.
You know what?
That is incorrect.
Damn it.
It's incorrect. Okay.
Who does he play for?
He plays for the Indiana Pacers.
That's right. Because the Raptors have played the Pacers 3 times. And every time I've been like, he's on this team. And I guess I forgot. So At halftime, I am 2 for 5. How are you evaluating my performance so far at halftime?
It feels like you're using the lifelines like a coach would use their coach's challenge. Like you're just waiting until the end and seeing like if you're going to be desperate enough to use them. And I think it's an interesting strategy.
Yeah, no, I'm squatting right now like Nick Nurse. Okay, so these final five, I need to get 3 of them right. All right, James Herbert, CBS Sports. Who's the next player?
Brad Wanamaker.
He is on... Oh my God, I also saw him earlier this year and was like, damn, he's on this team? Lifeline, please.
Okay. The hint is he has made only 12 appearances this year, but 2 of them were against Toronto.
He's played Toronto twice already. So I'm just going to have to go with the Indiana Pacers.
Correct.
Wow, yes. You tried to trick me. You tried to trick me with the back-to-back Pacers. Okay.
I don't know if that's trying to trick you. Maybe that was trying to help you. But yeah, he played in 2 of the 3 Raptors-Pacers games this year. Now we'll go with Aaron Holiday.
Nah, that's not fair. Aaron Holiday. Actually, I think I know this. I'm not even going to use my lifeline. The Washington Wizards.
There you go. You're doing great. You're on a roll.
I'm 4 for 7, so I need to get 1 of the final 3, and I will technically win this game based on my over-under.
Yes, I think this is the easiest one of the final. Actually, I'm gonna save that for last. Let's give you the harder ones first.
Sure.
All right. I always want to put a Canadian in here to embarrass you more if you get it wrong. So we're gonna go with Michael Mulder.
Michael Mulder. You know what? I'm sorry, James. I know this one. Orlando Magic.
Wow.
James, you're going to have to up the difficulty next time. You're going to have to. What can I say? People in Toronto know me as the guy who watches basketball obsessively. Like, we can talk about any game from last night. Please don't make me.
How did you even know Michael Mulder played for the Magic?
I think I saw the Magic, like, tweet out a graphic.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. Because he does not play very often.
I love how stunned you are.
I thought that was one of the harder ones.
So I won, but I'll play along for the last two. I'll wave my lifelines. I don't want these lifelines. Donate my lifelines.
Okay, you don't get them. Here we go. Denzel Valentine. As confident as you are, can you tell me who Denzel Valentine plays for?
That's not fair, man. That's not fair. This is not fair.
Why?
Can I get one of those lifelines back, by the way?
No, you just punted them.
Okay. No, that's fine.
Okay, fine. Do you really want it? If you are okay with that, like, I don't know if that says great things about your integrity.
Yeah,
but
if you want
a lifeline.
No. My reputation has been shattered already. So give me the lifeline.
His team beat the Raptors this year, but he didn't play.
I hate these Raptors-related hints, man. Dallas Mavericks.
Cleveland Cavaliers. For Denzel Valentine.
Okay. So we got one more.
I think this one is one of the easier ones. Gorgie Dieng.
You always say that, and then I have no idea, man. Gorgie Dieng.
Gorgie Dieng is in the rotation. He's not, I think that is legit one of the easier ones that I've given you.
Can you can I use my other lifeline that I punted away?
Sure. You still do have one remaining, right? I'm not giving you an extra one here.
No, this is my third one, but I just donated them. But I want them back. Yeah.
That's fine. If you wanted one back, you get 2 back. The hint is this team has 2 former Raptor guards on the bench.
2 former Raptors guards?
Yeah.
On the team.
On the bench.
On the bench. You're not going to tell me the names of them. I guess that would be too easy, right?
I'm absolutely not going to do that.
I can't do this, man. I don't know. Detroit Pistons?
No. I am sorry. It is the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, who's the 2 former Raptors? Lou Williams?
Yeah, and somebody who was on Who He Played For last time.
DeLon Wright.
There you go.
Hey, I'm getting better, I gotta say. Don't you think I'm getting a little better? 5 out of 10? That was not bad.
That was strong. I think, you know, there's been more time for you to watch these teams and study the rosters. I don't know how you were prepping for this. I don't know what flashcards you were using. I don't know what quizzes you were having your friends do with you to prepare for this thing. I can only assume you took it incredibly seriously. But it's clear that your hard work has paid off, Alex.
No, I really appreciate it. Once again, you're speaking to me like I'm a 12-year-old child. Actually, James, we're waiting to connect with our next guest. But you know, in the meantime, I wanted to ask you another question. I want you to settle this debate for me, okay? So I was telling Will the story, and I think I've told you this before. I was at the arena one time, sitting on media row at Scotiabank Arena in the 116 section that you're familiar with. And they were giving away t-shirts and they were dropping these parachutes from the 600 level. And one of them landed right on the media row table where I was sitting. Now, you know, where we're sitting, there are fans in front of us. And the fan who was sitting in front of us looked at me and said, "Hey, that should be mine." And I said, "No, it landed on my table." And I took the shirt. James Herbert, you know, you're a great person. You're a man of integrity. I want to know, before I let you go, what do you think of me taking that shirt?
It depends. What can you describe this fan? Was it a child?
It was an adult. It was a grown adult man.
Oh, no, you're fine. I have no qualms with you keeping that shirt. It's a grown up man. No, he doesn't. Okay. He's not entitled to it. If it was like, "Can I have that for my kid or something?" Maybe. If it were a child and you said no, then yeah, nah, that would be reprehensible stuff. But I think it's frankly a little bit weird for a grown up dude to turn around and say, "Hey, I want that shirt that landed on your desk." No, that's
but not as weird, not as weird as another grown up dude, me being like, "No, you cannot have that shirt."
I'm actually fine with that. I wouldn't have any compunctions about keeping that. And maybe I wouldn't even keep it. Maybe I would give it to somebody else instead of that guy. But I would be kind of, you know, I'd be a little bit miffed at the guy, honestly.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm glad you're on the right side of history. James Herbert, CBS Sports. It's a pleasure as always. I'm actually going to be in New York in a few weeks. So we're going to hang out. Let's get pizza or something. That's the plan, right?
Absolutely. I can't wait.
No, I can't wait. Thank you, James. Make sure you check out his work at CBS Sports and follow him on Twitter at OutsideTheNBA. And we'll talk to you soon, James. So the Raptors are playing the Washington Wizards tomorrow at home, and both teams have a Japanese player on their roster. Yuta Watanabe, obviously, on the Toronto Raptors, and Rui Hachimura in Washington. And it's Toronto Raptors Japan Day. And I thought I would bring in Tiru Akeda to talk to me about this. Tiru, how are you, man?
Hey, Alex, what's going on? Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure, man. You know, I know you've written about Utah. You know, you've had a chance to speak with him. Love for you to tell the listeners just maybe a little bit about yourself. And then I'd love to hear the story of you meeting Utah.
Yeah, so I actually got involved with Japan Day way back. I guess it's not really way back. It was pre-COVID times. So like January 2020. When the Wizards came, there was a Japan Day that was obviously a Utah-less Toronto Raptors. Over 400 people showed up, and I was able to get like the Wizards to cover Japan Day at the time. And then when Utah joined the Toronto Raptors, in Tampa Bay, I think the Raptors started noticing that there was a lot of like interest from Japan. So we did a virtual Japan Day, which was targeting the Japanese community. The entire event was done in Japanese back in June. And then that was a success. We only really had less than a week to promote it, but over like 102 people actually paid for this virtual event in Japan. And, you know, the Raptors were happy about the success. It was the first of its kind. And then that brought us to Japan Day today, or tomorrow, sorry.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, just based on an article from Sports Illustrated earlier this year, you know, they released stats about, you know, NBA international jersey sales, and both Utah and Rui accounted for 46% of all jersey sales on Japan's online NBA store. And the 2020-21 Raptors became the best-selling team in Japan from an overall merchandise perspective. You know, tell me a little bit about what's going to happen tomorrow, because I think you had mentioned to me when we were chatting yesterday that Utah is doing a post-game meet-and-greet with Japanese fans at the game. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, for sure. So, yeah, there's going to be around 400 people coming tomorrow. And then after the game, there's going to be a post-game Q&A with Utah in person, right after the game near the baseline.
Yeah, and I was asking you earlier, you know, I think you had told our producer JR about, you know, there was a time when you got to meet Utah, and you said it really illustrated the type of person he is. I love to hear, you know, that story or any stories that you have about Utah that you wanted to tell us.
Yeah, so it's a funny story, but, you know, Utah, people love Utah, just not Japanese people, but, you know, Toronto Raptors fans, because he seems like such a genuine and good dude, right? And yeah, first of all, shout out to Jason Hannibal, who invited me to the party, but I got invited to, like, a Toronto Raptors party right before the season started, and I got to say, like, the female-to-male ratio must have been, like, 98 to 2, right? So I was probably, like, one of, like, 20 non-Raptors guys in there. So obviously I stand out, and my buddy that let me in, he's, like, 6'10", so obviously he stands out, too. And the entire team is at the back of the venue, so we kind of swim our way up the crowd. My buddy's kind of playing wingman for me. He gets Utah's attention, and Utah goes, "Hey, are you Japanese?" So I say, "Yeah, no, I am." And we struck up like a 5-minute conversation, and I really went there with two intentions. One was to meet Utah, and two, I was going to organize this like small viewing party at a Japanese izakaya, and I ideally wanted Utah to show up. So I pitched him the idea. And he says, "No worries, I got you, I'll be there." And I said, "Okay, well, how do I get how do I touch base with you, right?" So he says, "Well, you know, hit me up directly," and gave me his phone number. And yeah, I texted him. At first, he didn't respond. So I finally mustered up the courage to give him a call the next day. And actually, funny story. So I was about to hop in the shower, thinking, you know, maybe this isn't going to work out. And then I get a call back, my phone starts ringing, I panic, and I check my phone, and it says Utah. So I, like, scurry out of the bathroom, and there I am, like, talking to the chosen one with just a towel over my hip. And, yeah, he confirmed. He said, "Yeah, I'll be at the viewing party." And a week later, it was hard to correspond with them, but yeah, he showed up, and it wasn't hard for me to get Japanese people who are involved in basketball in Toronto out to that event. But yeah, Utah actually came by after the season opener, even with a bad calf. He showed up, so that meant a lot to me, but I know it meant the world to the people that were there, because they really got to spend like a lot of one-on-one time with Utah. And I think with him, you know, I think he was only like 2 weeks in. Like he had come to Toronto. Maybe he was only there for around 2 or 3 weeks. So I assume it's probably one of the first times he was able to, like, you know, meet Japanese people one on one in an intimate setting. So I think it was a good time for him too.
Yeah, no, definitely. And this is a message to Will Liu. You know, you got to muster up the courage and get Utah's number and get connected so you can hang out with him. All right, Will? You know, before I let you go, Teru, you know, I don't know if there's anything else you wanted fans to know about Japan Day, or, you know, you wanted to provide any context about just the unique nature of, you know, being a Japanese Raptors fan and what it means to see you know, Utah playing on the Raptors and then obviously Rui on the Wizards as well.
Yeah, for sure. So aside from the fact that, you know, I think Utah as one player will, you know, continue to excite fans and whatnot throughout the rest of this season, I think one of the interesting parallels, I mean, you know, I don't have a crystal ball here, but I think one of the interesting things to look out for is just like the parallel between the impact that Rui and Utah will likely have on the Japanese basketball community. And you see it with guys like Udai Baba, who's playing in the G League right now, and there's a guy named Keisei Tominaga, who's playing for Delano Banton's former college team in Nebraska. I think they will have sort of the same, like, Carter effect in Japan that, like, you know, Vince had here, just inspiring the current crop of Canadian talent in the NBA. So I think that would be really interesting to keep an eye on. Maybe, you know, it might be 5 years out, it might be 10 years out, but it'll definitely happen.
For sure. And I assume you'll be there tomorrow, Tiru, for Raptors Japan Day?
Yeah, I will be talking to Utah. I'll be doing the Q&A.
Yeah, no, that's amazing, man. Super excited for you. Super excited for the fans are going to be there. And I think it's super cool. You know, the Toronto obviously advertises itself and it is a multicultural community. And when you see certain people from these communities be a part of the team, like, you know, for me personally, seeing Jeremy Lin come here as a Chinese person, Utah, obviously, for the Japanese fans, or even earlier this week when the Bucks were here and you saw the Greek fans, you know, unfortunately, Giannis didn't play, but, you know, they were there to support Giannis Antetokounmpo as well, which I think all of that is super cool. Listen, Tiru, I appreciate you making the time and giving us this insight, and enjoy the game tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Thank you. And hope to get ramen with you and Will soon, and Utah.
No, for sure. And Utah is the important part for Will. Tiru, I can't wait to talk to you soon, and we'll definitely have some ramen. So before we go, wanted to bring in our producer, super producer, Derek Brandeo, because we're trying to do some just on-air brainstorming about the Secret Santa that we're doing, the smallest Secret Santa in the world between myself, Will Liu, and Derek. Spoiler, Derek has drawn Will Liu, so he's been trying to brainstorm ideas for Will. And Derek,
You just ruined the whole secret thing about it, man.
Yeah, you know, it's just the three of us. You know,
could have
kept
it a little more key and be like, Derek drew one of the Asian guys on the show.
Oh, wow. Okay. Damn, Derek's coming in hot. This is what happens when we freestyle
Secret Santa, man. You're ruining the whole thing, dude.
Nah, you're fair. No, you have a fair point. But listen, now that it's been ruined.
Okay, so ruin Secret Santa.
Yeah, so ruin Secret Santa. I'm going to continue ruining it. You've been having trouble finding Liverpool stuff in Will's size is what you're saying, right?
It's unbelievable how the world has just conspired against me. I feel like I'm trying to buy clothes for my six-year-old for school. Like, none of his size is around, for crying out loud.
Yeah, no, that's difficult. I was telling you that you should actually troll him. And, you know, go on the discount rack of Raptors items and buy him a former Raptors player that he, like, absolutely does not like.
And in size small, too, so it doesn't fit.
I guess that wouldn't be a very practical
Here's
gift.
Your schmedium.
I mean, all I want to see for that episode when we do hand out our gifts on air to each other is Will's reaction when you give him a child size Chris Boucher jersey.
And
I think
then to watch him immediately walk to Tolman's office afterwards and say, I need a new technical producer.
And then the next day we'll be like, oh, shout outs to our new producer who has replaced.
Changing things up here, you know, yeah. Bringing in that youthful tone with someone else a lot younger.
No, we've gotten a lot of feedback that people, you know, just do not like the 5 minutes that we allow Derek Brandeo to speak
on
Fridays.
I'm going to bet that you've gotten no feedback on that.
Only positive. You know, we like to have the entire team involved. And by involved, I mean 5 minutes at the end of the Friday show. You know what I'm saying, Derek?
I'm still waiting for my call up for your do not show producer shows, you know?
I love that, man. Hey, how many seconds do I have left, Derek? You usually tell me.
We've got 25 seconds left here.
25 seconds. All right, perfect. Derek, appreciate you. That brainstorming session, you know, produced nothing as usual. That does it for us for today. You've been listening to the weekend edition of the Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I've been your host, Alex Wong. Make sure you subscribe to the Raptor Show wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss a single episode. And please rate and review our show. We're live on air Monday to Friday at 2 p.m. and Saturdays at noon. Thanks again to James Herbert and Teru Ikeda for joining today's show, and producer Derek and producer JR. I'll talk to you on Monday.